John organizes his gospel on the basis of these I am statements, and he gives to us a picture of who Christ is, so that as we look at tonight, the death of Christ, you get a better grasp of who it is that went to the cross that day 2,000 years ago. Perhaps the most well-known of the I am statements that Christ made is found here in John chapter 14, and it is a trilogy. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said in verse 6. This is a three-part answer that is given to Thomas's question about how to go to heaven. And these beloved words that are often read at funerals have become fighting words today because of the exclusivity of their claim. I am the way, the truth, the life. It is what it is. And in this answer, Jesus reveals more of the character of God. There's a sense in which, when you look at these statements, not the way, the truth, and the life, that the way has a bit of an emphasis over the truth and the life, only because in this setting, he's answering the question of what is the way to heaven. And Jesus makes it clear that I am the way because he is the truth and because he is the life. They all work in harmony with him. And because they only work that way in him, his claim to being the way and the truth and the life is an exclusive claim. No other person in history can say that. No other religion can make such a claim. The presence of the definite article before way and before truth and before life makes it very clear there is only one way. He is the truth. He is the life. And a statement that Christ made here in John 14 and verse 6 is like a 2,000-pound gorilla in a fine china store. It can't be missed, and you better deal with it. The way implies that there's only one way to get there. Jesus is the only connection between people and God. Imagine that your child has a serious blood infection that will take the life of your child unless that infection is treated somehow. You are in the hospital. You are desperate. The staff is frantic. They are searching the internet. They are making all of the contacts that they can possibly make to find out, is there something that can be done for the life of this child? The situation is very grave. These doctors are being consulted, and you come to find out that there is only one procedure that is known to treat this condition. What do? You go for it. Do you accuse the doctors of being bigoted and narrow-minded and arrogant because there's only one way to fix it? Of course not. You're grateful that at least there is a way. You and I have a seriously fatal condition because of our sin. There's only one way that that condition can be addressed, and it is Jesus Christ. Because He is the God-man who satisfied the demands of the Father. He is God. He is sinless. He is an infinite Savior. And since mankind was responsible for sin coming into this world, mankind had to at some point pay the penalty for the sin. The blood of bulls and goats that had been offered in the Old Testament that has been beautifully pointed out, that was offered against their own will, did not fully pay for our sin. It's like a credit card temporarily covering the payment, that at some point the payment had to be made. And that is why only God could come up with a solution of sin, because only God could become man, to be infinite, and yet for mankind to be able to be credited with the payment. Jesus is the only way, because He alone satisfied the wrath of the Father's holiness against sin. Heaven is not a right. It is a privilege. Everyone does not go to heaven. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where You're going. How can we know the way? When Jesus said, I am the way, He was making it clear. He provides what we need. In order to go to heaven, you need righteousness. Instead of having the righteousness that God requires you to have, you and I have sin. Our problem is a twofold problem. We have sin and we need righteousness. You need to have your sin forgiven, and you need a righteousness that you don't have. Only Jesus can take care of your sin problem. Only Jesus has the righteousness you need. And that's where it all comes together. Because Jesus is God and man. He lived the perfect life you could never live. He died the death for the penalty of sin. A penalty that you could never pay. But He could. And because He could, He did. And now you must embrace Him. You must trust in Him. Saving faith involves you understanding and embracing this truth. And that's why John wrote this book. He said at the very end, as Jerry alluded to, I have written all of these things so you get it. Do you see? He's God. He's the Savior. And when you believe Him, you've got life. He's the way, because He's the mediator of God's truth. And therefore, He's the only way a person can come to God. The way makes it clear. His way is the only way. But it is the only way because He is the truth. I am the way and the truth. By claiming to be the truth, at the very least, Christ made it clear that truth exists. Truth is a reality. Truth establishes a foundation, a framework, a structure for life. It provides a stable environment in which trust can flourish. Within a family setting, day after day, a dad makes a promise to his son. I will be there to help you out with this. And he does. I will take you here. And he does. I will be home at this time, and He is. And the fact that the Father continually speaks truth to His Son and demonstrates His commitment to that by His actions creates an environment of trust. It instills a deep security within that boy, because there is a constant in his life. There is a father who is a rock. And one day, let's say that dad and that son are in a swimming pool, and the boy is on the edge of the deep portion of that pool. And the dad says to the boy, son, jump and I'll catch you. Now, if you are that boy and you are at the edge of the pool, and your dad has for all of your life demonstrated that what he says he will do, he will do, you have a sense of confidence in jumping. But if you are a boy who has an older brother, who has promised and promised and promised and promised and hasn't done what he says he would promise, and that older brother is saying, hey, jump, I'll catch you. You see the difference? The confidence that a boy has in his dad gives him the freedom to jump and experience the thrill of jumping into the deep end, because he knows that his dad will back up his word and catch him. The fact that there is truth is one of the greatest gifts God ever gave to us, because it is that presence of truth that provides the road for freedom. But Jesus not only said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am that truth. And the implication is He is the standard by which everything is measured. What He says is more than just another person's opinion. What He says is the final authority. He is the perfect expression of God in human form. He takes the concept of God, and as God, He provides the exact appearance of that perfect concept. It was Jesus who said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And when He said that to Pilate, Pilate, of course, was a pre-modern postmodernist who said, what is truth? When truth was right there. Do you understand what Jesus said here in John 14? He's the standard. He's the constant. He's the rock. His life and message established the ruler by which everything else is measured. That's what's so amazing. This one who is the way, this one who is the truth. He went to a cross. Jesus is the true way to God, because He is the life. He said this earlier in John 11, that Jerry just preached, in conjunction with His claim to being the resurrection. Can you imagine making such a statement to somebody? I am the life. Whoa. What a word. What a concept. What an overwhelming idea. All we know experientially about life comes from our own years on this planet. What we do know is that life is the cry of our being. We hang on the edge of our seats listening to the stories of life and death. We see little babies in their mother's arms, and we just go bonkers over them. You see a little kid sitting in a grocery cart at Myers or Farmer Jack. And do you do this? I have to stop and make faces and try to get the kid's attention and try to get the kid to laugh and try to get the kid in trouble before I duck around the other side of the aisle. Why do we look in the eyes of somebody? Why do we look at a little child and our world becomes alive? Because of life. Christ is the source of life. He is the one who defines what true living is. John 1:4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 5:26, for as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. And in the teaching of Christ, there is a clear connection between true physical living and true spiritual living. The death process interrupts physical living, but the resurrection trumps even that. Christ is the source of physical and spiritual life. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing has been made. Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus that He must, Christ, be killed in order for sin to be forgiven. Jesus said at the end of that conversation in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see light, for the wrath of God remains on him. In John 10:28, Jesus said about his sheep, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So when Jesus said, I am the life, he is demonstrating once again that not only is he the source of life, he is the source of eternal life. And only Jesus offers eternal life to us. I don't know that the contrast could be any greater than what was heard in the courtroom this week of Massawi's trial as the cockpit recorder was played, I believe, of Flight 93. The hijackers who ended up driving that plane into the ground and killing all those on board were screaming into the mics, Allah is great. The passengers were attempting to break down the door to take back control of that plane. What kind of a God is this? That loves death and destruction. It's not the God of Scripture. Jesus made it very clear. You cannot have eternal life through Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, or through a version of Christianity that is based upon your performance. You must put all of your faith in Christ alone. The Scriptures command that He is the only means by which you can have eternal life, because no one else can provide that life for you. And when you reach out with the arms of your heart and by faith alone, in Christ alone, embrace Him as Savior and Lord, you receive as a free gift eternal life. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Gracious Father, we do stand in amazement at your Son and our Savior. What kind of a God are you who would take eternity and wrap it in swaddling clothes? Who would take all authority and lay it down on a cross? What kind of a God are you? What kind of a love is this? We must bow, and we do. We must surrender. We do. We must trust. We do. We must love and obey and follow. Lord, we do. Amen.